From potatoes to the new year. Day 16, 284.0. The potato famine was over, and we'd had our first corn high that can never be matched. From then on, we'd be eating nutrient-dense, calorie-deficient vegetable stews and taking a lot of cold showers, and we reached our target weight. I'd lost 18 pounds in 14 days of eating potatoes. I was a quarter of the way to my target weight after just 2 weeks. Wow, that's kind of nutty good. But the report from the scale was nothing compared to how I felt. Every moment of every day, I felt great. I'd gotten through those couple of sluggish potato days, and since then I'd felt wonderful. I'd never felt like this on a diet before. I always felt deprived and like I was getting nothing out of it. I'd also felt guilty for not doing it quite right. Diets are like Christianity. They're all set up so that you can never be sure you're doing everything right. It's your fault. If I were a Catholic, shoot me, but I have other points to make first. And if I were sure that everlasting life lay in the balance, the entire talent list for kink.com couldn't get me to fuck outside of wedlock. Not even a blowjob. I'm sure that if everlasting life and the pleasure of the Lord Almighty were at stake, I wouldn't even jack off. I believe I could follow even those insane anti-human rules perfectly. But religion is set up so that even perfect is never good enough. It's set up to fuck even the compulsive nuts. Religions have that coveted thing built in to take us down. Now, I say set up, but I don't think there's any conspiracy. I don't believe, like many of my atheist siblings, that churches are run by people who make plans for how best to control others and then implement those plans for their own power and pleasure. Believing in a cabal of cardinals who create religions to dominate the masses seems a little too much like believing it wasn't Lee Harvey Oswald who popped Kennedy. Evil conspiracies are too much like God. We all have an urge to believe that someone bigger than us is in control, even if that someone is evil. It might even be more reassuring if that someone is evil. It would certainly explain all our troubles. But I don't believe in human puppeteers. I don't even believe in evil. The biggest insult I can give to Christianity is to say that I believe it evolved. Old religions that didn't have all this crazy-ass, manipulative, destructive, jive-ass shit simply fell away. And the ones that grabbed people by the ovaries and balls flourished. I'm such a hardcore atheist, I don't even believe churches were created. I think even they evolved. That's how atheist I am. My buddy, mentor, hero, closest thing I have to a god, James Amazing Randy, explained that when you're sick, one of three things can happen. You can get better, you can get worse, or you can stay the same. As long as quacks can explain all those three, they can stay in business. And that's not hard to do. If you got better, this bullshit is working. If you stayed the same, this bullshit stopped it from getting worse. If you got worse, we have to do more of this bullshit because it takes time, or you're not doing it quite right. It's your fault. Be patient. Be my patient and keep buying my bullshit. Diets always had enough wiggle room for me to worry that I hadn't done something right, that I had cheated, and the lack of results was my own fault, which it was for picking the wrong diet. You fucked up. You trusted us. Diets always had those three quack explanations covered. When I was counting calories, I had to estimate what 3 ounces of tuna came to. I wondered whether that hamburger wasn't lean enough or if the bun was too big. Could I have gone a little heavier on the dumbbells? Was I really at the point of exhaustion when I stopped? I always felt I was fucking up a little. And when I wouldn't get the results I was promised, it was because I had cheated a little. I went my whole fucking life without jacking off, but I'm still full of sin because one of the MILFs had a nice ass and I had carnal thoughts that I couldn't control well enough to please God. That's how diets work. I couldn't run Cray Ray's system quite perfectly because it would have meant not doing shows. But it still worked. There are a few gray areas. I could eat all I wanted, but only of certain foods, and only during what Ray referred to as the Fed window. He tells all the cronuts, Ray, crow, nice, plus nut, self-explanatory, to try to keep the day's eating within a 5-hour window while trying to lose weight. And it's pretty useful and fun for maintaining, too. That means going 19 hours without food every day, pretty black and white. I guess maybe my cold showers weren't quite cold enough or I had a little too much rice, but it was pretty clear that I was following the rules. And when I didn't quite follow the rules, it still worked. It's the opposite of Christianity, salvation without sin. The weight was just melting away, and with it a lot of my free-floating food guilt. My friend and now fellow cronut, Matt Donnelly, pointed out that guilt is a limited commodity. feeling guilty every time you eat, whether you're on a diet that you're not doing quite right, you're just a fat fuck trying not to care, is a drain. Living in a state of constant guilt about eating is like being a Christian living in a constant state of guilt over fucking original sin. The difference is that the fat fucks go back to the Garden of Eden and eat all the forbidden fatty fruit over and over again themselves instead of every new generation being born in hate and pain. So it's kind of a wash. There's a lot in life to honestly feel guilty about. I should laugh at my wife's puns and try to enjoy her show tunes more. I should spend more time with my children, not snap and tell her, not write fuck you on Twitter. I'm a little more guilty about being slightly proud of that, too. There's a lot of stuff to worry about without that fucking constant guilt that came with every mouthful when I was a fat fuck. And I'd coat that guilt with fat and wash it down with sugar water so I could swallow it easier. I told Ray that one of the things I wanted out of his plan was the ability to read more of the newspaper in a detached way. I try to read the New York Times every single day, but sometimes I get too busy, and that's something else I feel guilty about. They print articles about health and the social effects of drinking, recreational drug use, and smoking. There are articles on domestic abuse and racism, features on people gaming all sorts of financial and political systems for their own gain, articles about all kinds of crime, anti-vaxxers, spreaders of drug-resistant superbugs, and the proliferation of nuclear arms and other weapons of mass destruction. I read those with as much compassion as I can muster, but without any subjective worry. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I've never hit anyone in anger. I don't do B&E anymore. I don't have TB or Ebola, and I don't have any operational nuclear warheads. It'll take at least 10 years to produce them, unless you trust me to self-report my own personal inspections. For the most part, reading the news is a little cold and distant, and I like that. And then there would be some sort of article about fat fuck America. About the government deciding they could stop diabetes by making people who buy soda give the government more money. An article on how diets don't work, but maybe if Michelle Obama had a nice garden, people wouldn't die as much from heart disease. I couldn't just read those articles and jump to the next one. I had to take time to blush as I read. I had to worry. I had to think about whether I wanted to finish the article and make myself feel worse or just skip to Krugman saying if I don't agree with him on everything, it's my single-minded goal to destroy not only America's economy, but also the whole world's security and economic safety. Krugman long ago forfeited its power to make me feel guilty, but the fat fuck thing really made me crazy. It took guilt energy to read those articles. No matter what they were writing about, BMI, morbid obesity, eating ourselves to death, hypertension, they were writing about Penn Jillette. I begged Cray-Ray to make it so reading about obesity was the same as reading about people who dropped their genitals into hot blow dryers. I wanted to think, hey, that used to be me. We started our new groove. Cray-Ray sent us recipes for new things to try. Although I have cooked on TV, I don't cook when there aren't cameras around. And my family wasn't in town. So Godot came over and cooked for the two of us. We had some black beans, rice, and corn, but I think we fucked it up. There was too much salt in the beans, but we ate them anyway and didn't have to be forgiven for our sin. I had a couple of potatoes before the show, and God damn it, I still got lightheaded on stage. Fuck! After the show, I had nothing to eat, not even a potato, because for the next few months, we wanted to keep our Fed window as small as possible. I now think my hypertension and my obesity were caused by my constantly fed state. I was always eating. Eating well or eating badly, it didn't matter. I was always eating. My body never got a rest. I understood from Cray-Ray that one of the fastest ways to gain weight is to eat frequent small meals full of fat and then exercise. Sure worked for me. When I finished eating, the postprandial digestive process, I got that phrase from Cray-Ray, was set in motion. It takes 4 to 6 hours to clear the blood of the rises in amino acids, lipids, and carbohydrates from food. If I drank alcohol, that would be in there too, but I don't. Alcohol was the one thing I didn't have to quit because I never started. The body has only 3 options for handling all this energy. It can store it, use it, or piss and shit it away. Excess starch sugar is stored as glycogen, whatever that is, but Cray-Ray loves the word, in liver or muscle tissue. I figured it was just turned into fat, but Cray-Ray says no. When I was eating frequently, my meals ended up being a big challenge to my body's effort to balance blood sugar. Being constantly fed, my body had to get rid of all that glucose. That's why exercise feels great, because exercise burns mostly glycogen and not much fat. exercise just made room for my next starchy, sugary meal to be stuffed away for later. By restricting meals and dietary starch glucose, we'd given my big old body a different problem than it ever had in its whole fat fuck life. After a couple of potato days, my body was still getting ready to groove on the next meal. Because of fucking cray-ray, all of a sudden it couldn't. Now my body was forced to balance glucose from my liver and use the fat from my reserves rather than from my mouth. This is a big deal. It had to get the energy to run my brain, manage blood glucose, and fuel my body from its reserves, which I had plenty of and had never used. So when I first hit that low-calorie diet and ran into the low blood sugar fog and wanted to just sit alone and watch the Three Stooges, that was potato days 3 and 4. That's when most people quit this stupid shit and go back to eating all the time and exercising like freaks. Ray had forced us to be patient, and right after day 4, I started feeling great. My body recognized the donuts were no longer streaming in. I started to let go of all the stored glucose and fat. Now I was eating PenFat burgers from inside my own body with extra PenFat mayo, and it felt great. As Joni Mitchell sang, "I'm sitting on my groceries," I was getting all the energy I needed from my internal fat pantry. All was going according to Cray Ray's plan, except by still getting foggy during the show. We had no idea how to solve that. For the most part, except for the most important part of my day, my body was managing blood glucose levels with the liver and not with the mouth. It's supposed to be the liver that stops you from feeling really hungry and not the mouth. My whole life, and your whole life too, I bet, I've been getting my energy directly from my mouth. I was eating to regulate my blood sugar. But I was finally teaching my liver to feed me. My liver takes the glycogen, feeds my brain, and keeps my blood glucose balanced. It uses my fat the way it evolved to be used, so there's no panic hunger from low blood sugar. The last few paragraphs are just cut and pasted from Cray Ray's emails, blogs, and texts, and then rewritten by me like a middle school student copying the Wikipedia entry for Teddy Roosevelt and trying to change just enough to not get busted. But I kind of sort of understand it. At least, I think I do. The way I figure it, Cray Ray wants us to be playing the bagpipes and not blowing the sax. Even though I've never played either, and I don't know whether you've played either, so I'm breaking all my own rules of analogy, I still love this one. With bagpipes, you don't blow into that annoying, droning, out-of-tune flute thing. You blow into the bag, and then squeeze the air from the bag into the annoying, droning, out-of-tune flute thing. With the sax, you have to blow right into it for every note you want. I wanted to learn to eat like a bagpipe, to put the calories into storage and then let the liver blow them into my blood when it needed to keep me alive to write annoying, droning sentences like this one. Get it? That's the way it works for animals and our ancestors. There's no eating constantly. Life is feast and then famine. In many cases, it really was a potato famine. One meal a day if you're lucky, two if you happen to win the hunter-gatherer lottery. Our food was always limited by what we could find and catch, not by our consciously cutting calories. How long have humans had too much food? Less than a century. And this is certainly not a worldwide phenomenon. For nearly all life on Earth, the problem is too few calories. But for a few lucky assholes, the problem is too many. We're lucky until all the fat sickness sets in. And it doesn't matter how many of us die from it, as long as we're dying after we've reproduced, evolution does fuck all. Evolution works great to fix things that stop you from fucking in order to reproduce. Stuff that stops your heart from beating after you've reproduced can't be fixed. Evolution can't select for that. Evolution's sexy fuck hands are tied behind its back. Cray Ray forced my liver and muscle glycogen to do their thing while I kept my mouth shut. On day 4, it was a pain in the ass. And then my lazy liver did its job, and I was riding with King Cray Ray. Use the mouth for fucking, the liver is driving. There would also be no exercise till I reached my target weight. Exercise is bodybuilding. The body wants more food when you're exercising, and you can't possibly exercise enough to make up for the additional food you eat. We were forcing my liver to do the work and giving my mouth and muscles a break. All the while, my fat was making up the difference and melting away. During mealtime and for a few hours after the fed window, energy needs are met primarily through the food just eaten. So that wasn't getting stored as fat. And as I ate fewer calories and ate them less often, my body spent more time each day in an early fasting state, during which it used my stored fat for energy. So I wasn't starving at all. I was eating all the nice marbled fat that was warehoused all over my body. I was eating the prime rib I'd been carrying around with me. I don't mean to spoil the ending, but over this period, I dropped 0.9 pounds a day. A pound of fat is 3,500 calories. So I was burning 3,150 calories of stored fat every day. This isn't exactly true because not every pound of that weight loss was fat, but it's pretty fucking close. I was pulling fat from everywhere. During that time, my ring sizes ended up going from 13.5 to 12.5, and from 11.5 to 9.75. Yep, I even had fat in my fingers. Now that I'm my target weight, my card slights are easier to do. Yeah, I have thinner fingers, and they're easy to sneak around behind a deck of cards. Amazing! Cray Ray called the post-potato phase we're entering weight loss. It's a pun, because you don't exercise, you just wait. And the weight comes off. Cray Ray would have to start eating vegetable dishes that would increase flavor intensities over the next month. We wouldn't get too much variety. He wanted to keep it a little boring. Food was not supposed to be entertainment. But after he'd slapped us down with that potato fortnight, we were happy with anything he'd give us. Get that liver working. Godot was really, really sick of potatoes, and most other cronuts hate them. But I liked them. I ate them more after the potato famine than I ever had before. I throw a little Tabasco on them, and they're great. They were my comfort food, and I always lost weight with them. But the upcoming months would still give me what I wanted, a plan for my eating that I didn't think about and wouldn't fuck up. I had a few choices, but I ended up not doing a lot of them. I liked the same thing over and over. I liked to just get eating out of the way. Day 22. My wife, Easy, decided to start her own potato famine. She wasn't a fat fuck, but she felt she'd feel better if she lost 25 pounds. She was thrilled by the physical, emotional, and mental changes the diet had brought to me, so she hounded Cray Ray until he brought her on board. We wanted to have supper together at a restaurant, after which Easy would take the children to some stupid Chinese panda show, and I'd leave to do my stupid show. This was our first family restaurant meal where I would be eating, and we were going to the Cheesecake Factory. Easy called ahead and told them I wanted 3 baked potatoes with nothing on them. Then she had to explain what she meant by nothing. She had to say, no salt or oil brushed on the skin, nothing. She also set up steamed asparagus and broccolini for me. Easy calling ahead made it really easy. I didn't have to be embarrassed by giving instructions to the server, and we let them know in advance I was going to eat a lot, 3 baked potatoes and 3 orders each of the vegetables. This is one part of Cray Ray's lifestyle change I hate, caring about the food I eat. I really hate it. It's not hard for me to give up the food, but it's really hard to give up the I-don't-give-a-fuck part of my personality. I've never been a picky eater, and I've always prided myself on that. I never had to order anything special in restaurants. I never had to ask anyone what was in anything or how it was prepared. I didn't care. I just ate it. I believe I'm still the only judge ever on Iron Chef who ate everything that was put in front of me. I ate the full serving of every food. I cleaned my plate. I ate the eyeballs out of the fish. Calvin Trillin taught me how to get the best food in any restaurant. He took me to Sylvia's, the soul food restaurant in Harlem, and he ordered for us. Bring us anything you think we should try. Over the years, I've changed that to bring us whatever you want, whatever you're trying to get rid of, whatever's going bad. I still do that with other things. When buying show tickets, I say, give me the seat you're trying to get rid of. Make your chart easier to sell to other people. I figure I do as well that way as I would by being a pain in the ass. Maybe better. But if I don't do better, I don't care. If it's a good show, properly directed, it's directed for every seat. If it's a good restaurant, all their food will be good. I'd order that way whenever I was with friends who would eat anything. My wife has always been a very picky eater, and that's part of the reason she was never a fat fuck. She cares what's in everything and tells the server how to tell the chef to cook the food, what griddle to use, how much butter and extra cilantro and a little fresh lime juice, please. I always find it a little uncomfortable, but she gets the food the way she wants it, and she stays healthy and slim. She wins. My buddies Tim Jennison, Tim's Vermeer, and Farley Ziegler, producer of Tim's Vermeer, and I were in England working on a movie, Tim's Vermeer. All of us would eat anything, and yet Farley is slim and healthy. Huh. Maybe this whole book is bullshit. And when the three of us went out to eat together, we got the best meals ever. We'd go to a fancy Indian restaurant and say, bring us whatever you want, whatever you're trying to get rid of, whatever is going bad. And we would get feasts. They told us what they were serving us, but I don't hear well and I don't decode accents well, especially when the accent being attempted is English. So I had no idea. I just knew it was interesting and delicious. I've even tried give me whatever is going bad at chains like Chevy's. And the couple of times I did it, it worked out great. I got stuff that wasn't on the menu, stuff the chef whipped up just for me, like she might make for her family. It was delicious. I loved ordering like that. And if I wasn't writing a book on how my sad diet was fucking killing me, that would be my advice on eating. We sometimes do private corporate shows, and the buyer will pay us a shit ton of money and then tell me what in jokes to do and which tricks they want from our show, in what order, and who we should use for our audience volunteers. The long-suffering Glenn tells them they get a better show if they let us make all those decisions, which is true, and they usually understand that. But if they insist, we give them what they ask for, and they're happy with that too. But we know we weren't as good as we could have been if they just let us do our jobs. I feel that way about everyone. I'm buying your expertise. I want you to do what you do, whether it's Picasso or the chef at Chevy's. Do the thing you do, please. Cray Ray had taken away that announcing of my confidence in other people doing their jobs well. Less fat fuck Penn was calling in advance, or like the coward he is, having his wife call in advance to tell them he'd like 3 baked potatoes with nothing on them, no butter or sour cream or bacon bits, and not even a brush of oil on the skin to make it crispy and properly brown, not even a few grains of kosher salt to give it a twinkle and some flavor, nothing. And the vegetables should be steamed plain, just plain. No oil, no butter, just plain. And 3 big orders of each, please. Soon we would add to that, and a salad with no animal products and no grains at all. That means no cheese of any kind and no croutons, just vegetables with nothing on them, nothing, no dressing at all. Some plain vinegar on the side, but nothing on the salad. It takes all the joy out of preparing food for me, but maybe my heart won't blow up this year. Listen, Mr. Picasso, my husband would like a painting, but it's very important there be no shapes and no colors in that painting at all, understand? Just to be clear, he'd like flat white paint on canvas, no gloss, and please, no brushstrokes. Just plain, flat, white, evenly brushed on the canvas with no texture. Thanks so much. The Cheesecake Factory did a great job with my picky supper. It was the first time I had steamed asparagus since potato time. It tasted amazing. There are all these flavors that I'd never tasted before. I guess they must have always been there beneath all the hollandaise, but you couldn't prove it by me. I asked if I could have even more. I was within my fed window so I could have all I wanted. The children were eating what children eat at the Cheesecake Factory. Getting them to eat better is a project we didn't want to tackle until we had me totally under control. I kissed them goodbye and went over to do the show. I'd eaten a lot, but I was still lightheaded during the show and during the worst parts of the show. I was lightheaded during the finale. We end our Vegas show with a bullet catch, and it's irresponsible of me to be lightheaded during that. My diet was saving my life, but fucking tell her. Our version of the bullet catch is very safe. We, like Houdini, will not do anything more dangerous than sitting in our living rooms. Having a daily breakfast of eggs and toast with butter was more dangerous to me than doing our finale every night. We have layers and layers of protection, even though we use real guns and real shattered glass. People are coming to our show to laugh at danger and enjoy the excitement. And if we didn't care about our own well-being, we should care enough about our audience's morality to not put ourselves in jeopardy while they're enjoying a show. My being lightheaded on stage did not increase Teller's risk of having his head blown off, but it did increase his risk of being part of a show that sucked. If I skip a joke, the show is less funny. If I miss a move, the show is less deceptive. And if I'm spacey, the show is less crisp. All of these things are bad and unfair to Teller. If I had a different job and get a little lightheaded, I just have to sit down for a second or simply pause in my speech. In our show, I can't really do that. Where I'm standing, how I'm standing, what I'm saying, and when I'm saying it are all part of the show. Losing weight and feeling better were important, but I had to find a way to do it while not breaking my promises to Teller, our co-workers, and the audience. Day 25. 272.8. Day 25 was what others call New Year's Eve. New Year's is a big day in our family. We don't have any celebration on Christmas, so we save it for New Year's Day. That's when we exchange gifts. It's nice to be later than the other children because we get to see what our children's friends got and which of those things our children like the best. I suppose that, in principle, we should be able to benefit from stores marking down their plastic shit. But I think we just buy the children a lot of plastic shit to show them that their parents are better than Santa and Christ put together. And New Year's Eve is a big deal for all our friends. Teller and I decided that to celebrate our success, we would take New Year's Eve off. That's unheard of in showbiz, but we do it. We don't like to end our year on a drunk audience, and we don't like driving with drunks. Easy and I have a little shindig at our house, and all our friends who don't want to get drunk come by and eat. Cray Ray had decided that I could now have salads. This was a big, hairy deal, because now there would be the taste of fruit. The most sweetness I'd had. I lost 30 pounds in 25 days. I was illin' and chillin' like little Bobby Dylan. But I knew New Year's Eve was going to be tough, 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 tough. We have all our friends over to not get drunk on New Year's Eve, and unfortunately, it's hard enough to find a dozen people who don't drink on New Year's Eve without also trying to insist they don't eat, so we have plenty of food for them. Easy had planned Happanini New Year, and she had all this great stuff for people to put together their own paninis. Roast beef, salami, all kinds of cheese and vegetables and great bread. Oh, dear. Everyone eating great sandwiches and chips and desserts and everything, just beautiful. I could have eaten vegetables, which would have given me some wiggle room, but I wanted to be hardcore. If there was one little crack in my willpower, I'd be cramming down handfuls of roast beef. I wanted to be perfect. Although Cray Ray allows it, I gave up caffeine long ago. I don't want recreational drugs to be a part of my life. I don't like to time things. We had a great espresso machine with little decaf pods. I drank those like crazy. It kept my mouth bitter and my spirits up. One thing this diet taught me is to have a love for bitter. I dig it now. My drink of choice at Bucky's, and keep this in mind if you see me there and want to be kind, is a venti, it means 20, decaffeinated Americano with two extra shots. All the bitter and none of the speed. As bitter and blue as a jazz musician at 3 a.m. In the Vegas summer, I sometimes have it iced. On New Year's Eve, I just kept making and drinking little cups of espresso. I had two big Cray Ray salads that Easy made for me with sweet dressing and new flavors, and then went back to espresso. At midnight, bringing in a new year in which I would be thinner, I celebrated by having a nice, big, tasty slice of nothing, motherfucker! I was doing this thing! It was made a little easier by people starting to really see the change in me. 30 pounds ain't nothing. My clothes fit differently, and my face looked different. We watched the Vegas fireworks on the roof of our house with the gang, and I felt cold and hungry going into the new year, just the way Cray Ray wanted me.